Welcome to the next step. Hey, this is Father Vosk, and welcoming you to the next step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through an ancient lens. In fact, one which goes back to the beginnings of time and the creation of our universe. It's a view through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy, Armedoxy for short. And this view is being made possible through the expanding vision of the Inishu's mission and by the good folks over at the Apostles' Net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Wow, all this talk about the beginning of the universe, you have to wonder, did they have such great weather back then? I don't know, but it's fantastic right now. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous day in Southern California today, and we are enjoying real fall weather. You know what they call autumn and fall, and the air is crisp. Yes!
Fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
Fantabulous. Well, it certainly is a fantabulous time. It's a fantabulous month. Just great to be here with you. And it's certainly fantabulous to have you with us today. Whether you're a new next stepper, taking a few steps, baby steps with us today, or whether you've been taking a few steps and now you're running with us, it's just great to have you on board. And it's always a pleasure doing these podcasts for you. And I hope that it's going to be exciting today. We're going to be talking about a few different topics, one of which we're going to start off with is kind of answer a few questions about
exorcism.
Did that scare you? Well, it wasn't supposed to, but it's to dramatize, yes, what we usually think about when we think of exorcism. Because, you know, last week we talked about it, and I guess I just touched on it in relation to that story I had of going out of state and doing that exorcism. And it got so many responses, that little piece, that I felt like, let's do a part two to it. Let's kind of build on it, because I have to admit, I did leave it just sort of out there. And I do want to give a little bit more explanation. Most of the questions that we got, most of the email we got, the feedback we got were of the nature of like, I didn't know we did that. I didn't know you did exorcisms. Or what was that guy on TV? He had like a little catchphrase like, you know, Did I do that? Exactly. Steve Urkel.
Did I do that?
Okay, enough of that. But before you go out there and start practicing exorcism, listen to today's podcast. We'll give some more explanation about that. Besides that, we've got a wonderful program with Ani with her bubbles. We've got a couple book reviews coming up and just an exciting time, especially during this autumn season. We kick off all of our podcasts with a song of the day. Sit back and enjoy this one.
هم پلاتون چیگالی شوهر جان سهاری تدون چیگالی شوهر جان دونارو را دوشارو را شوهر جان آهم پیتا کی تون کرفا شوهر جان دونارو را دوشارو را شوهر جان آهم پیتا کی تون زون چی گلی شوه جان سهاری تدون چی گلی شوه جان دونورا دوشورورا شوه جان آهم پیتا کی زون که ربا شوه جان دونورا دوشورورا شوه جان Pitaki tsuke reba shoe-chan Dunorora shoe-chan Aham pitaki tsuke reba shoe-chan
Shoe-chan. Wow, what a beautiful piece. You know, that song has roots over 100 years old. Hard to believe. Performed by Gor Mkhitaryan on his acoustic folklore album, it was written by Gomidas Vartabed, and I play it today because, well, today, 140 years ago today, Gomidas Vartabed was born. And today, as we celebrate his birthday, we remember that this was a giant among the Armenian people, definitely a giant in the Armenian church. He was a monk of the church. And, you know, there's your test right there. There you go. There's a song over 100 years old. And yes, new renditions, it still speaks to your heart, it speaks to your mind, to your being, to your soul. What a beautiful piece. On Gor Mkhitaryan's acoustic folklore album, if you don't have it, go out there and get it wherever good music is sold, and hope to have some projects going on with Gor very shortly. But for today, we celebrate Gomidas Vartabed's birth with this song, and a few other interludes we'll play throughout the podcast. Well, are you ready to talk about exorcism? Well, even if you're not, I am. Last week, I shared with you a little story that took place in my ministry just a couple months earlier. And I wanted to share it, but I think it's important that throughout the Next Step podcast, I have been sharing different things that occur in my life. And it's very important because I think a lot of times the life of a priest is sort of designated with boundaries from Sunday to a Sunday, and basically he's got this job that you only see him on Sundays, and you say, wow, what a cool job. You know, can you imagine just like taking 6 days off, and then like it's the opposite of the God job, right? God worked for 6 days and then took the seventh day off. Well, the priest, he like lounges for 6 days and then takes the seventh day as a work day. Well, believe it or not, there is so much going on in the life of a priest, from his teaching engagements to his counselings to his seminars, in life being part and parcel of a family. I love the priesthood because it really is a cradle-to-grave position, isn't it? You're with people during some of their most intense moments, from the beginning of life to the beginning of service in life, through the baptism, through the marriage, through their family life, and then even at the last moments as they make their entrance to the bigger picture, to that eternal life, to that eternal dwelling place, you're there. And that is really one of the exciting features of, I think, the priesthood, at least for me. And sometimes some unusual things do happen that really go outside of those boundaries. And one such incident came about a couple months ago when I was talking to a very dear friend, a family friend, people that I had married, a couple that I had married some 25 years ago, and they had requested an exorcism. And without getting too deep into the details, I did do this exorcism against, let me say like 30 years ago when I was just starting off my ministry. I probably never would have thought that I would have been there, but I have to tell you, it was completely different. Well, like from what I said earlier, right? From
exorcism.
It sounds funny, I know, but I do it intentionally, of course, because, you know, so much of what we understand as religion, what we understand about God, what we understand about Jesus, is fashioned and shaped by Hollywood. You'd be surprised how many people, like, come to me with these Cecil B. DeMille. Yeah, that goes back, doesn't it? You'd be surprised how many people have that Cecil B. DeMille image of like God, of Moses, of biblical times. And I'm saying this because here is somebody who directed motion pictures in the early part of the 20th century. Here we are in the 21st century, and so many people today, yes, today, even young people who probably have never seen any of those movies, are influenced by those images. Because subconsciously, consciously, somehow, they've been thrown at us. Even the image of exorcism. You know, one of the few books that I just like sat down and read in one reading. I think it may be the only book that I've just literally, I sat down one evening and read it in one sitting. It was in the 70s, and it was William Peter Blatty's The Exorcist. It was a fantastic book, and I think the screenplay, the movie, was just done so well. I know it's available in DVD rentals. They sometimes show it on TV late at night. If you can watch it late at night, that's really the atmosphere you need for it. And I think it even has reached cult status, I think, along with the Rocky Horror Picture Show and Dawn of the Dead. Sometimes you'll find a theater that shows it in the middle of the night. So if you can't get a chance, if you haven't seen it, really do see it. Because what it does, these kind of movies, and I never shy away from movies that really get you to think. And this one really did do that. If you don't like the movie, check out the book. It got you to think about the forces that are playing here in this world. You know, we are so quick to accept a God, a good God, but somehow we put that devil character in another kind of a fairy tale, a different kind of idea. Well, look at it through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. As many times as I've shared with you, get away from those Cecil B. DeMille ideas of what God is, this old man ready to play you and me as pawns in this massive chess game called life. No, God, according to our teaching, is love, is pure love. And so when we talk about the devil, what is the devil but the incarnation of evil, the incarnation of all that is bad? And so what are these forces that are playing in our life? What makes us do certain things? I mean, you know, if you're a natural optimist, you want to believe that there is good in everyone. And then every so often you run across somebody who's really evil, who is really bad. Despite all the good that's out there, they do evil. And you know, I know we get back to this thing, is it nurture or nature? I mean, are people just born that way, or does society, their surroundings bring them up that way so that evil becomes a part of their lives? You know, I gotta share with you that I think my personal view is that it's a little of both. I don't believe that it's all nature. I don't believe people are born that way and there's nothing, you know, you could do about it. And I don't believe that it's all just a matter of surroundings. There's just too many things that have happened in my life where I know that those surroundings could not have played a role in it to the point that it does. And so there has to be another part that is also nature. And the happy balance between them is really something you're invited to find. I think that's what, when we talk about good and evil, when we talk about God, devil, it's an idea for us to, or an opportunity really for us to think about those forces inside of our lives. And so when we think about exorcism, yes, our picture of exorcism comes from these movies, comes from what Hollywood has done. You know, Linda Blair did this scene, unforgettable scene, with her head spinning around on her neck and the vomiting, projectile vomiting of like some guacamole paste. I'm just being graphic, just to see if you're awake over there, and I know you are. Well, ever since The Exorcist came out, there's been many, countless movies that have been made, and until today, there's always about demonic possession. And the more graphic that they can be, the more tickets that they sell. Unfortunately, what it does is it seeps into our understanding of these things, and just like in days of past, we understood God and God's work, or let's say biblical times, through the motion picture genius of Cecil B. DeMille, today we understand evil, exorcism, the devil, from what Hollywood has given to us. And what I'm asking you today is really to take a step back the way I did a couple months ago. When I did that exorcism, I realized that it's not about the demons inside of a child as much as the demons that are all around us. Our ability to see good, our ability to perceive evil amidst that good, and to be able to separate the two. Imagine in your life, for all the good that you do, there is unexplainable evil. There are unexplainable events that just take you, well, they get you to doubt. They get you to turn your face away from God. And once you move away from God, move away from love, what has succeeded? Evil has succeeded. The devil has succeeded. Do you see how it works? It's that simple. It's not about head spinning, vomiting, or anything as dramatic as that. It's just turning away from God. When you turn away from God, evil has won. When you turn away from God, you no longer can see pure love. If you can't see pure love, you can't practice pure love. You cannot live in that love. And so what happens? At that point, the devil wins. That's how simple it is. It's not a question of man with a pitchfork or man with horns or people inhabiting your body or anything like that. It's a matter of you taking responsibility for your life and saying, I take the path of love, the path of God, over the path of evil, hatred, and all that keeps me from becoming the full love being that God intends me to be. And these are forces. These are forces, like it or not, they're in our, inside of our lives. So the question comes up, what did I do at that exorcism? Well, let's back up a little bit, okay? First of all, the family had asked me to say some prayers over a child who had gone through epileptic seizures. And they were uncontrollable seizures from many, many years ago. And after trying all kinds of means and different resources that were available to them, medical and otherwise, they asked me if I would say some prayers. Now, what's interesting about the epileptic, if you do some of the research, and again, here on the Next Step, I'm not going to get really deep down into the research, and I do invite you to look it up and do some of that, but that's not the nature of this program. What I'd like to do share with you is just the basic concepts. Epilepsy was tied in with the cycles of the moon. In fact, you know, it's not even that far off. In fact, believe it or not, it was in the year 2004, I believe. Let me see if I could do some of the research for you while we're talking. Yeah, 2004, when they did a study, actually, and came out that the blame for epileptic seizures was not the full moon. The full moon has been blamed for many things, this article writes. It says, most often in error, and now another myth has apparently been cleared. Researchers at the University of South Florida report that the gravitational tug exerted during a full moon does not influence the frequency of epileptic seizures. Well, like I said, you know, very crudely, people called them lunatics. And what is a lunatic? Usually you think of a lunatic as somebody who is crazy, somebody who does not have their wits about them, somebody who needs to be put into an asylum. And that's why I said very crudely, people were labeled like this and many times taken outside of society and dealt with. And unfortunately, many, many cruel things have happened to epileptics. Interestingly enough, the ancient book of Mashtots, which is the prayer book of the Armenian church, or let's say of the Armenian clergymen, and in it, it is all the cradle-to-grave services, from baptism all the way to funeral. Interestingly enough, the exorcism appears inside of this Mashtots, and it is under the title of Prayers for the Lunatic Lusnod, Lucine, the lunatic. Now, mind you, we're not talking about anything current, anything coming out of not only this century, last century, the centuries before. We're talking about a book of prayers that come to us from the Middle Ages. And in it, it is identified, the prayer for exorcism, as something that you do over people who are connected with the moon. And it just occurred to me that, yes, the epileptic is that same person. So I offered those same prayers over this child. Now, what was very interesting about it was that those prayers really moved me more than I think the child. But at the end of it, who was healed? I think it was a healing not only for the child, because like I shared with you, it was about 2 months later that I received a call that she was free of all those seizures for the last 2 months. But it also did some healing for the people involved as well as myself. Because at that point, you realize that it's not just in your hands. You realize that it's not all nurture and nature argument taking form. It's a question of this universe being at play with all of the elements, with all of, yes, and including the powers and the forces from the moon and the tides and everything. Everything comes together and we become whole. How many times have I shared with you here, this Next Step audience, about the wonders of the divine liturgy of the Armenian Church? It is holistic. It is not just a question of going and singing. It's not a question of just listening, but using every sense available to you. Breathing in the incense, seeing the jingles with your eyes, sharing and tasting and partaking, using all of your senses. So too, when we think about these things, exorcism and good and bad and evil and love, we're here challenged to understand that we are just a portion of the whole. And that whole universe is really under God's domain. That's why God is so much bigger than all the words that we have, is so much bigger than the Bibles that we read, all the churches that we erect. God is God. And God gives us an opportunity to touch His being when we exercise the one commandment. They will know you are my children. They will know you are my disciples by the love that you have. So basically, that's what I did. I did an exorcism by praying the prayer of the Lusnod, by sharing, by touching the child with a very special energy, the energy of God, the energy of love. Let's take a break for a minute and listen to Ani with her spiritual bubble for the day.
Sand and Stone, today's spiritual bubble. A story tells that two friends were walking through the desert. During some point of the journey, they had an argument, and one friend slapped the other one in the face. The one who got slapped was hurt, but without saying anything, wrote in the sand, "Today, my best friend slapped me in the face." They kept walking until they found an oasis, where they decided to take a bath. The one who had been slapped got stuck in the mire and started drowning, but the friend saved him. After the friend recovered from the near drowning, he wrote on a stone, "Today, my best friend saved my life." The friend who had slapped and saved his best friend asked him, "After I hurt you, you wrote in the sand, and now you write on a stone. Why?" The other friend replied, "When someone hurts us, we should write it down in sand, where the winds of forgiveness can erase it away. But when someone does something good for us, we must engrave it in stone, where no wind can ever erase it." This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
All A little bit of advice there, too, besides just a spiritual bubble that takes us up to some higher places. There's some very practical advice. Thank you, Ani. That was great. And, you know, we do spiritual bubbles every week because just like the little child playing with the bubble, and I shouldn't say little children because I personally know some people of very, very old age that sit around and blow those bubbles, too. And there is a lot of excitement in those, too. But if you've ever watched those little soap bubbles, they go up to the heavens and they take your imagination up there, too. Ani does this little piece, spiritual bubbles, to do exactly that. Just give you something to think about and really carry you through for the remainder of the week. So we really appreciate that. Is that the best you can do? I'm not complaining. No. I'm not complaining. Thank you. That's perfect. I asked Ken for some bulletin music. You know, we've got a papal bulletin coming in. That was more like a Tom Brokaw bulletin, wasn't it? Well, it's that proportion, too. Actually, you know, I heard some great news in the Catholic Church, and I wanted to share it with you because it's along the lines of what we're doing over here, and certainly something that we need to pay attention to, especially because we're really putting a lot of energy into these podcasts and getting our Bible studies up on the net. But apparently, just last week, September 29th, let me read it to you. It's from one of the Catholic websites, a journey through church history. It's called Epic. And it says, the Pope Benedict promote using new media to evangelize. Vatican City, and the dateline is September 29th. Pope Benedict XVI plans to focus his message for the New World Day of Social Communications on the new media and how they can serve the spread of the gospel. The papal message encourages priests especially to make use of the new means of communicating. The full title of the Pope's theme for the January 24, 2010 celebration is The Priest and Pastoral Ministry in a Digital World, New Media at the Service of the World. And the day is observed every year on the feast of St. Francis of Sales, patron saint of journalists. And the article continues. But I thought this was exciting because here you've got the head of the Catholic Church putting basically a stamp on it that, yes, new media, what's going on, the internet, the podcasting, the streaming, all of this media is now there available and encouraging his priests. This is, to me, is very exciting news because, you know, a lot of times in the traditional churches, well, let's be really honest about it. What we're doing here on this podcast, we call it Armenian Orthodoxy, and I take it one step more and I call it Armodoxy, just making sure that we're not stepping on any toes. Well, it's obvious. You know, you need money, you need resources to do these things, especially technology at the price that it's at. But here's the thing. The church has always been on the forefront of that technology, has always used the means. I mean, think about it, the printing press before that, papyrus, writing on things to be able to get the message out. Think about stained glass, the artwork, the frescoes, all of that, taking art and really pushing the limits to express the love of God. Well, it's no different today. We have this technology available to us. Why not? Why not exploit it? Why not take it out all the way as far as we can? And let's be honest, you know, I call this Armenian Armodoxy, you know, just so we're not stepping on any toes. Well, okay. But you know what? There is a group of people that do believe in this. And those are people that support it. I've got an incredible group right in Glendale that's saying, okay, you know, we're willing to make some sacrifices if you're willing to push this a little further. But it needs everybody to participate. It needs people. And when you hear someone like the Pope putting his stamp on it for the Catholic Church, your hope and your prayer is that other churches likewise will be able to say, hey, this is a technology. This is a means. Remember a few weeks ago I talked about this specifically. Don't confuse the means for the end. This is not the end. The end is not about just getting more computers and ability to reach out to farther places. No, this is a means. This is a means to go to places that you couldn't dream of. I mean, for me to think about that, I'm sitting in Glendale and touching people. Well, we got listeners from St. Petersburg, right? I mean, all the way in Russia. You got people listening in Armenia. You got people in Asia, in South America. This is unheard of that you could do that. But today's technology not only gives us that opportunity, but if we're true to the gospel message of spreading the good news, it demands that we exploit this technology. So I just wanted to share that with you. And with that, I'm going to ask Susie to give her plug for the day.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the second year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Voskin calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Voskin.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that nice reminder, and maybe it's a great time for us to remind our audience that today's podcast, as well as the ones coming up, are being sponsored by Pomegranate and I, E-Y-E-I, of course. Pomegranate and I, they make eclectic jewelry for the fun at heart, and you could see all of their beautiful jewelry on the web. You don't even have to travel far. Just open up your computer, type in pomegranateandi.etsy.com, and you'll just see an assortment of just some eclectic jewelry, and if you're fun at heart, it's definitely for you. And one of the nice things about this jewelry is that whatever you do purchase online, you mention that you've heard about it on the Next Step, and 15% of your purchase price gets turned over to the In His Shoes Ministries. So it's like a win-win. You get some great jewelry, Pomegranate and I get some great customers, and of course the In His Shoes Ministries benefits as well. So make it a win-win-win, triple win, all the way around. Get out to pomegranateandi.etsy.com and check them out. And thank you for sponsoring us. If you'd like to sponsor us and get involved in this ministry, I got to tell you, right now's the time, because we do need some definite hardware upgrades, just a lot of work is needed to move us in the direction that we're going at a little bit nicer and more comfortable pace. So if you can, get out to our website, inhisshoes.org, press on the button. There's some addresses if you want to just send in a check. It's a great way to get involved and do something where your heart is speaking. I'm not sure if you've had a chance to check out our latest project, but if not, I wanted to just share a few thoughts about that right now and then kind of lead into the last segment of our podcast for today. But we've been now broadcasting our Bible studies live from Glendale. And it's been kind of exciting because, well, it's a different dimension to our work, to our apostle work. You know, we chose this name, apostle, basically it's apostolic evangelism. You know, I mean, it goes to the time of the apostles in the same, let's say, in the same spirit to get out there and get the word out of Jesus's good news. But it is for an electronic and expanding universe, basically. So Epostle was born, and we've been at it since the year 2000 when we did our first divine liturgy over the net, and we actually accelerated it a bit last year when we started these podcasts and really expanding it to where it can be, the potential. But just about five weeks ago, I know the beginning of September, we started broadcasting live our Bible studies, which we call Questions in Faith. Because as you know, those of you who've been following our podcast series know that this ministry is basically about questions being just as important as the answers. I mean, anybody could give you an answer, but to have a good question means that you've thought about it, means that you've been engaged. It means that you're not just sitting there and waiting for an injection in the brain, but you're sitting there and really pondering some of the most beautiful experiences of this universe. And so we call it Questions in Faith, and we've been studying the Gospel of John. And what's exciting about it? Well, just like these podcasts, you can go to epostle.net and you can watch them or listen to them anytime you want, 24/7. But the exciting part about the broadcasts are that if you click on it Wednesday night, 7:30 Pacific Standard Time, or is it daylight time? Well, it's one of those. If you press on it at 7:30 Pacific time, let's just say California time, whatever it may be, you press on it and you can participate. You can actually participate. You can send in questions. You can ask questions. You can give comments. And we saw that just this last one we did together, and we had people participating from different parts of the world. So it's kind of exciting. Right now we're at the beginning of this project. It's been a month. And I just want to encourage you to get involved in the many things that we do over here because, you know, the world is changing. Did you check out that Parade magazine? You know, Parade magazine's that magazine here in the U.S., most of the Sunday papers. You know, I don't know how much of a phenomena that is in unique to the United States. I know that when I was living in the Soviet Union back then, it was kind of just unheard of because, of course, news was at a different level. There was a different understanding of what news is. But I know in many countries, too, paper shortages. But here in the United States, the Sunday newspaper is usually a pretty massive collection of paper. It is just pretty big. Impossible, it's strictly impossible to sit down and read a Sunday paper in a Sunday afternoon, I was going to say, but all day Sunday. It's just impossible. It's so huge. But one of the editions is a magazine called Parade Magazine. It's a small little, I think it's maybe about 16 pages in all. It usually features a cover story. And this week's cover story was about how spiritual are we? And the good thing about it is they're right on the web. If you can, just check them out, parade.com. Interesting story with some statistics and, of course, some celebrity profiles. Celebrities, you know, these are the magic people, the ones that influence so many. You could be a priest, you could be a rabbi, you could be a minister sitting here, whether you're on the internet or you fill up a stadium just talking about it, but you're never going to have the impact of, let's say, a Madonna who wears a Kabbalah bracelet and next day drives up sales over $26 million in sales for Kabbalah bracelets. I mean, this is just one of the many examples. I mean, you know how Oprah Winfrey, if she recommends a book, all of a sudden it gets on the I remember just a few years ago, I mean, that happened right in front of my eye. I had read a Sidney Poitier book. I would say a good 5 years before Oprah ever said it. And in fact, I'll never forget, because I had found that Sidney Poitier book in the bargain bin. You know, one of my favorite things is going to Borders or Barnes & Noble and looking at the clearance section, because you find some great, great books over there. And I had found this Sidney Poitier book, I think reduced down to $3 or $4 or $5, whatever it was. And I did. He's one of my favorite actors. And so I read it. It was great. And it was like 4 or 5 years later, Oprah Winfrey, she endorsed this book. She talked about this book. And did you know that the next day it was on the bestseller list and you couldn't find it under $20? I mean, Amazon included. You couldn't find it anywhere because, you know, once Oprah puts her stamp of approval, once Madonna wears a bracelet, once anyone does anything with these things, it just sways public opinion. Well, you take a look at Parade magazine, and they talk about spirituality in those terms too, because you look at some of the celebrities and how they are influenced by their faith. But also in Parade magazine, what was interesting to me were the statistics. They were talking about, well, they had done some studies and talking about different trends that are going on in religion. And if you look at your life right now, you know how much more spirituality is important in your life. And whether you call it religion or spirituality is really a preference from your side, isn't it? Because when it comes down to it, you could make different arguments and say, well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. But it all comes down to the same thing, talking to the soul, a connection of soul to something greater than yourself. And many ways of defining it. And I invite you to really check out that article, because it is a very popular, let's say, written with very popular terms. But if you want to get a little bit more serious about faith, an interesting book that just recently came out, it's called God is Back. And this is by John Micklethwaite, I can't say that name, it's an interesting name, and Adrian Woolridge. And they are editors for The Economist magazine. But what's interesting about it, God is Back, how the global revival of faith is changing the world. And if you really look around you, all around the world, faith is starting to take new meaning. People are returning to their faith, or exploring new faiths, but they're understanding themselves not as purely material beings, but of course spiritual material beings. And very interesting, because God is Back is a neat title, because of course God never left, but we are the ones who leave, aren't we? We sometimes reject. I remember back in the 60s, there was the movement of God is dead, and it wasn't a question that, okay, God is no longer there, but our understanding. We no longer need God. We no longer need to put God into our lives or into the equation which we call lives. So some interesting reading for you, and I kind of challenge you to get out there and take a look at these books and take a look at some of the things that are going on in your life and how you are reacting to those things. To things, well, let's say even the global things that are going on, as well as those individual, those little crises, those things that are unique to you. And how do you bring God into the equation? How do you bring faith, matters of faith, and, well, religion? How do those things all interact in your life?
Thank you.
Well, my final thoughts for today has to do with something very personal to me. Just recently, the president of the Republic of Armenia visited the United States. He's on a world tour getting or soliciting, he says, different reactions to the Armenian-Turkish protocols. And these are protocols that will normalize relationships between Turkey and Armenia. I do want to share a few ideas because there is a group of young people who I admire immensely standing in front of the Armenian consulate here in the Los Angeles area, and they are on a hunger strike, and they are protesting this protocol, and I do admire them that they are standing up for something that they believe. I do admire and really pray for them that God give them the strength to really keep up what they are doing. I know it's very difficult. Those of you who have followed our ministry know that the power of protest is only enhanced by our ability to sacrifice for that cause. And we have many, many opportunities where we've participated in these kind of strikes and protests. But I do want to take it one step further, because the entire premise of In His Shoes is about that if we've gone through these things, we need to walk in the shoes of others. And while we focus on a genocide that took place 90 years ago in Armenia, and there is absolutely no one who can question that, there is a diaspora which was created because of a genocide. I'm here standing as living proof that, you know, that the reason why Armenians had to flee their country was because there was a genocide. There is no contesting the reality of that genocide. But I do find it important, and I find it essential to bridge it with other things that are happening in the world today. Particularly, there's a situation going on in Darfur which bears the same name. It's called genocide. It means a group of people raping another group of people, in other words, exerting their will on another and annihilating, systematic annihilation of an entire group of people, getting rid of the gene pool, the genocide. And it's happening in Darfur, not too far away from there in the Congo. We know that women and children, God's most precious gift to this world, the children are being raped daily and are being killed. And it is in massive, massive numbers. And you don't have to look far. You know that everywhere that this podcast is reaching right now, if you look in your communities, you know the kind of difficulties that there are. And so it's important when we talk about In His Shoes that we understand what this ministry is all about, that we can overcome hatred and evil with the power of love. But the first step is to develop a respect. And that's what In His Shoes is all about. When you put your foot in the shoes of others, you start cultivating that respect. You start understanding the pain of the other person. And by having that respect, you open up your heart and you open up your mind. This is a very simple philosophy that we've been trying to push, and pushing with much success, because we see that wherever we have walked in His shoes, we have planted those seeds of love, those seeds of respect, which are now starting to blossom. And I invite you today to really get on board with the In His Shoes mentality and philosophy. Check us out. InHisShoes.org is our website. And follow the links. It's not just a question of looking what's up there on the website, but follow the links. I blog rather regularly. Read some of the blogs. Get involved by sending in your comments, your feedback to these podcasts and to these commentaries. You can always reach us at feedback@epostle.net, or else just write to any one of the addresses that are on there. We always look forward to your response and to your participation. Well, that about does it for today. And I've got to tell you, it is always a pleasure coming into your lives through these podcasts, and for all the wonderful people who make it happen. For Susie, our producer, for Ken up in the booth, Ani with her bubbles. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.